This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Washington, D.C. Apple wanted $1,400 to repair my MacBook. I'll share the details. The InSight mission sees success. Apple starts an entrepreneur camp for women app developers. GM is behind the power curve and has to lay off and close car manufacturer plants. I want to welcome you to episode 1329 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, November 26th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Become an insider today. Hey everyone, I'll give you a warm welcome to the show. I'm glad to be with you. I'm snuggled up here warm in D.C., got the room heater turned on. Yes, it is chilly and rainy here on the East Coast, but I'm glad to be with you. But I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners that are tuning in to the show for the very first time. Thanks for being here. And make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you do so, you're going to find the ability to subscribe to the show on the right-hand column of the website, whether it be Apple Podcasts, whether it be Google Podcasts, whether it be subscribe on Android. You can get the show via email even. So check out those options. Or if you like Spotify, you can listen to the show on Spotify as well. And when you're on the website, make sure you subscribe to the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show tonight. Of course, you can find the same exact information at geeknewscentral.com. When I am in Hawaii, you can watch this show when we're live, but this show I am not live, but you can definitely check out the live show or the video portion of the show on your Apple TV. But you can always listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home devices by using the keyword play the podcast Geek News Central. And of course, again, we're live oftentimes, but for the next two episodes, or this episode and the next episode, I will not be live. It'll be audio only. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat, or you can request to be on our Slack channel. You can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Twitter, @geeknews. And follow me on Facebook as well. Just search my name, Todd Cochran. Partner shows include linked all at geeknewscentral.com, whether it be the GNC Week in Review, whether it be the Gadget Professor, the New Media Show, the Pro Gear Site, the Podcast Legend Show. Those are all available linked up at geeknewscentral.com. You can always pick up Ohana gear. Yes, if you're listening to this show, you're now part of the Ohana. Ohana in Hawaii means family. So go over to cafepress.com/Ohana store. I want to thank the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our sponsor, GoDaddy. You can find great deals from GoDaddy by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All my promo codes are over there, whether it be a 99cent.com, whether it be 30% off a new host, or 30% off a product or service over there, or a one-year managed WordPress site, or one-year managed WordPress hosting, or one-year standard hosting. All that's available for $12, plus you get a free domain with both of those offers. All those deals can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Share these codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. If you've got someone that's hard to buy for Christmas, a domain name and a website makes a great Christmas gift, especially for someone that's young and getting ready to be creative, that wants to own their own brand, build an empire. They can do so simply with a domain name and a website over at GoDaddy.com. Again, all my promo codes are geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. Well, everyone, before I get into the content here, I got a little bit of stuff to chit-chat with you about. Last Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, I went over to the Apple Store, walked in with the MacBook, fully expecting that I was going to be spending $700 to get it fixed. Well, no, that was not the case. Sat down with the Apple representative, and he quoted me $1,475 to repair a $5,300 laptop, and I was surprised. I really was, and I said, why is there a delta between what I was told on the phone with the Google support representative, I mean, the Apple support representative over the phone, and what you're telling me? I said, something's not right. And he even opened up the, I could see he was looking at the court, they have a correspondence tab, and he even said to me, yeah, I see where they said it would be $700. They were wrong. And I'm just, I become, for a better word, frustrated. And this is where some of you that are on Windows machines, you're all laughing because you're thinking, dude, a new computer is $1,200 or $1,000 or $1,100, a nice one, right? So I walked out the door with the broke MacBook, contemplating what to tell my son, and you know, it was pretty simple. We had a heart-to-heart, and I said, listen, I know that you've been operating on a Mac, but I've got a couple of Windows machines here, and you're going to have to use the Windows machine until we figure something else out. And he was more disappointed in losing the data, which we talked about on the last show, than the actual which laptop he was going to use. So I was pretty pleased on his, he didn't go too, you know, obviously disappointed, but hey, I'm not spending $1,475 to repair a $2,300 MacBook when I have some Windows machines at home that can be used while I determine what else I would do. So I got him set up with a machine that I've had for a couple of years, but it'll, you know, it's going to not be as fast, obviously, in processing, but it's got an i7 chip in it, and it's got a pretty good amount of RAM. So, you know, if it takes him 45 minutes to render a video instead of 30 minutes or 20 minutes, then so be it. That's life. In the meantime, I posted something on Facebook about it and said, okay, what are some other options here? And there was a comment from one of the folks on Facebook that says, Todd, you need to watch this CBC YouTube documentary about how Apple is ripping off customers on repairs. So that got my attention, and I watched the video, and I'll be honest, one of the individuals that they interviewed, and it was basically same type of situation, water damage to the computer, and they were essentially quoted about the same amount of money. Now, here's the crazy part. So while I was at the Apple store, the guy says, well, you can buy a new MacBook, and by the way, AppleCare Plus now covers water damage. And I'm like, well, why didn't AppleCare cover water damage on the machine I just bought in January of 2017? Well, AppleCare's changed. And so, you know, if I'd bought this machine later when this new AppleCare Plus came on, the damage would have been covered and I would have only been out $349. So if you're buying a new MacBook now, make sure you get AppleCare Plus because it covers water damage and screen replacement and, you know, all this stuff that typically can happen to a laptop. So anyway, I watched this YouTube video and I said, And this guy talked about the laptop he brought into a shop. He actually had screen dimming is what was going on. And within like literally 5 minutes of taking the bottom plate off the MacBook, he said, right here, look at this. And it was just a little a connector. And he straightened it out and plugged it back in, and voila, this guy's MacBook was essentially good as new, and it was a five-minute fix by this technician in this store called, or in this small computer shop in Manhattan called Rossmann's. So I just immediately said, after watching that and becoming a little bit disgusted with the potential that Apple is just looking to make money and really not truly repair something here, because what they did is they quoted me the cost for a new keyboard, cost for a new logic board, cost for, so basically they did the worst amount of worst case scenario where they're just going to replace wholesale components without really any troubleshooting. So this Rossmann's in New York, I went online, and sure enough, ship your laptop to us. We'll provide you a quote. So tomorrow, my son's laptop will arrive in New York City. It's going to be dropped off, and I will hopefully within a couple of days I'll get a quote from them on what they. Now they may come back and say it's $1,400 to fix, and if that's the case, then I will probably tell them ship it back and be done with it. But maybe he's going to come back and say $700 or $600 or $500 or $400 or $100 bucks or $10. You never know what they're going to find. Again, we got the liquid cleaned off very, very quickly. So maybe it's only a keyboard that needs to be replaced. Maybe it isn't the logic board. Nevertheless, we will find out. And this saga will continue. And for you Mac users out there, we'll have something interesting to talk about. But I guess I have learned here while having made the switch largely, and you know, I've got tonight with me, I've got the Mac opened up and I've got the Windows machine here because I use both to do the show when I'm on the road. And I guess we'll have something to talk about. But the one thing is for sure, the susceptibility, if you damage a MacBook, you're going to pay as much through the nose to have it repaired as you did to buy it. And this guy had the heavy sale on for me just to buy a new notebook. And he was like, well, 13-inch with a quad core and basically give you the same amount of power. You know, that was like $1,700. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And it just, you know, financially didn't make sense. Now, if I can get the MacBook repaired and get it back, maybe then what I'll do is maybe I'll sell it with disclosure that it's been repaired and then do something. But maybe I'll just keep it and run it until it dies. The time will tell. But a little bit of an eye-opener for me here. So again, if you're buying a new MacBook Pro or MacBook, make sure you get Apple Care Plus, and that does cover water and screen repair, where you don't have to pay $1,400 to have it repaired. So you Windows users out there are all giggling. Go ahead, send me an email. Told you so. geeknews@gmail.com is a place to send your email. But I think this is a good, you know, it's a good learning point for me and a good FYI for the rest of you to let you know what you're in for if you have a catastrophic event like happened to my son, where inadvertently we had liquid penetration of the MacBook and not even water. I was up front with the guy. I told him, I said, it wasn't water. It was a cleaning spray that the cap had busted off from when the cat dropped the shelf on the cleaning bottle. But anyway, long story short, it's going to Rossmann's in New York, and I'll give you the gory details when we have an update and let you know what he comes back and says, here's the price. And I'm predicting, based upon what they put on their website, for liquid penetration, it's going to be closer to that $600 mark. And if it is, then I'm happy to have it repaired at that amount by that company. So anyway, that's where we stand right now, and we'll go on. So Thanksgiving was, I hope for you, was good for those of you in the United States. And of course, I just relaxed, to be honest with you. My wife got up early and peeled the potatoes. I was happy not to have to peel the potatoes. That's the only thing I hate doing for Thanksgiving, getting ready for the mashed potatoes. But I cooked a big bird and then made half of it into turkey burger. And I think we pretty much, over the two or three days that I was still in Hawaii, we ate leftovers till I was sick of seeing turkey. But overall, went into a food coma, didn't do any Black Friday shopping, and I bought nothing. And believe it or not, I haven't bought anything on Cyber Monday either. So did you find a deal? Did you get something over these past shopping days? If you have, geeknews@gmail.com. So obviously Saturday night, got on an airplane, came east. Pretty rough flight out of L.A. I had I don't know what's wrong with humanity at this point, but I had some knucklehead behind me that I knew when he came to sit down, he wrestled around and wrestled around, and it took him like 20 minutes to finally sit down in his seat, and then he started kicking my seat. And I don't know what the deal was, exactly why. He wasn't kicking the back of my seat. He was like kind of kicking under. He wasn't a tall dude. I was in United Plus, basically had the extra 3-4 inches of leg room. But for whatever reason, this dude must have kicked the bottom of my seat like 50 times to the point where I got so irritated that I asked him to stop. He gave me attitude and then kicked the seat some more. So I'm just like, I want to sleep and he's not letting me sleep. So I dinged the flight attendant, spoke to her. I've never done that ever on a flight. Had to get the flight attendant. She spoke to him and he just continued to be the biggest jerk in the world. And, you know, he didn't kick as much, but every once in a while, boom, boom. And, was not happy. Now, the guy that was sat next to me, it was a father and son, and the son broke out his gaming laptop as soon as they dinged, and he started playing some video game. Now, he had his headphones plugged in, but he was cursing and grumbling and moaning and moving and jerking him and I got, I don't know, I just drew the lot. I got into a stink eye back and forth with him, and I asked him several times nicely, can you not yell? Can you not curse? You're disturbing me. So anyway, yeah, I got the winners. Winner, winner. I should have had the crying baby too, but that was about 20 rows back. That had just made it even more perfect. So anyway, we got into DC, got the rental car, and here we are. Okay, so now that I've quit, now that I'm done whining, let's get into the content. All right, congratulations to NASA and their first Mars landing in 6 years. The InSight mission, which launched back in May, had a, from what everything looks like, a flawless touchdown. I haven't seen the follow-ups yet, whether or not they had successful arrays, if they had their solar arrays deploy, but everything so far looks good. But there was a lot of interesting reactions online. A lot of people were tuning in. I think the live stream video showed like 15 million people had watched the live stream. Lots of photos from the headquarters, and of course, some jokes on the picture that came back from Mars because the lens cap, the dirty lens cap, was still up over the actual lens, so you see a dirty picture, but you can see the horizon. You can tell they're on the ground, and it looks to me like they're out in the middle of the desert, which is where they tried to put this thing. They tried to put it in a big parking lot, essentially. And lots of people making jokes about Instagram and so forth. But anyway, this is hard science, and a good job to the NASA team and JPL for getting the InSight on the ground. Now we can listen to the heartbeat and take the temperature of Mars and see what's really going on inside of that red planet. So very, very exciting stuff. As a matter of fact, before I started the show, I was doing the replay here in the room. For some stupid reason, the NASA player on the NASA website, you can't fast forward it. So that was a little annoying, but I'll restart it after the show, and let's hopefully get to the press release as well. All right, so Apple has started a entrepreneur camp to help female app developers. This is good. The initiative will bring women to Apple Park for private sessions with the company's executives and provide ongoing support. And they want to give developers a boost when it comes to iOS apps. This is really amazing because if you think about this, they're not bringing, they're actually bringing app developers who ultimately become entrepreneurs. So they're giving them that entrepreneur information that's going to help them along. So this is very, very exciting. And it'll bring women to Cupertino for 2 weeks each quarter to help them with one-on-one sessions for coding, marketing, and other areas to successfully launch their app. And of course, women are underrepresented in the industry. Esther Hare, Apple Senior Director of Worldwide Developer Marketing, Executive Sponsor of Women at Apple, said Monday in an interview. And there's huge disparity in the entrepreneur world when it comes to access and funding. So this is good. I'm nice to see that Apple's doing this. Of course, the link to this will be up in the show notes. General Motors, which has had rounds and rounds and rounds of trouble over the years, and I'm not a big GM fan per se. Family has largely been a Ford family. But GM is sadly announcing they're cutting workers and plans as it shifts focus to electric vehicles. And the company is cutting 15% of its workforce and shuttering 5 plants. Now, the plants that are going to be shut down are in Oshawa and Ontario, Canada, Detroit, Michigan, Warren, Michigan, White Marsh, Maryland, and Warren, Ohio. And what this really is it's going to slash assembly lines and cease production on 6 vehicles. So check this out. According to US Today, the Cadillac XTS and the T6, Buick LaCrosse, Chevy Impala, Cruze, and Volt. So those are going away. This decision to cut the Volt, which is a plug-in hybrid vehicle, seems odd given GM promise to focus on electric cars. It also marks the death of one of the cars landed as a success for the company following the bankruptcy in 2009. I actually like the Volt a lot because I had a buddy that had one, and it was a very successful hybrid. I'm just very surprised that they're cutting it. So it's because right now actual cars are not very popular. I'll be honest with you. Cars ride a lot smoother than most SUVs or crossovers. Matter of fact, the vehicle I got at the rental place today was a Chevy something. It almost looks like a mini SUV, but that's what everyone's buying. No one's buying just regular cars anymore. So we'll see what happens here with this, but 15,000 jobs, 5 plants are going by the bite. And, you know, and millennials are not buying vehicles as much. People are Ubering, and they're using Lyft and different types of rideshare resources. Now, will that change as these individuals move from the inner cities to the suburbs when they start getting married and having kids, or are they not going to have kids and won't move from the inner city? That is the question. But big slashes at GM. We'll see what happens with Ford if Ford starts cutting their car production line as well. But I've always liked the Cadillac XTS per se. Never been able to afford one, but that's always been a vehicle that was very, very sharp, and it's gone now, so it's not even going to be an option. All right, you geeks are going to love this. Have you heard about Lenny, the internet's favorite telemarketing troll? Lenny is a decade-old chatbot designed to troll telemarketers that have developed a cult following. It's remarkably convincing, and it's actually effective. So, according to the New York Times, automated and scam calls, which we think all of us are getting, have increased nearly a third in the last year to around 3.4 billion calls a month. In matter of fact, it got so bad there for a little while as I couldn't even answer my phone. It was just so much issues. And there's 12 different bills right now aimed at curbing telemarketing abuse. And, you know, these measures have done little to stem the rising tide. So in 2009, an autonomous IT worker began using interactive automated message to handle telemarketing calls to the company where he worked. He called the chatbot Lenny in homage to his elderly neighbor who used to collect plastic shopping bags in a giant man-height stockpile in his backyard. According to the Reddit post by the person who claims to be the voice and creator of Lenny chatbot, he sought to create a telemarketer's worst nightmare. Thus, he decided he would be a lonely old man who is up for chat, proud of his family, and can't focus on the telemarketer's goal. So the final result was a chatbot that consists of 16 stock phrases played in order. The first four phrases are scripted so as to encourage the telemarketer to begin their sales pitch, and the last 12 phrases are played in a loop. So I listened to this video. No, this audio. It's really awesome. And it makes you just really, really love that they did this to really get back at the telemarketers. But now, it's been around a while, so maybe it's not being as effective, but it's very, very cool. So the public available version of Lenny is maintained by a former programmer, and I guess this thing has gotten about 3 million calls over the years, and so that's very considerable if you think about it. And he says most of the calls are about 10 minutes long that they keep people online before the telemarketer gets angry and figures out he's talking to a bot. So I'll have the link up in the show notes for you there. Elon Musk is making an interesting prediction. He says there's a 70% chance that he'll move on to Mars. I'm thinking, okay. So how old is Elon Musk? Is he in his 50s yet, or is he still in his 40s? I honestly don't know. I guess I should Google that. But he has talked personally about heading to Mars before, and in an interview for the Axios on HBO documentary CS, he said there was a 70% chance to go to Mars. He says there's been a recent number of breakthroughs that made it possible. He hinted before that it would likely be a one-way trip. He expects to move there and obviously maybe die there. And I think that's probably, you know, the steps it's going to be taken is that folks are going to go to Mars. The risk is really, really high. You know, we're getting better at landing on Mars, but landing is one thing, surviving, and then getting off the planet is completely a whole nother gamble. So anyway, we'll see what happens here, but it's a very interesting interview, and it's an interesting prediction by him. So it shows he's really, if he says 70%, that sounds like he's pretty serious to me. Ever wonder what happens when you deactivate a Facebook account? I think most of us don't know because we haven't gotten there yet. We haven't deactivated or deleted a Facebook account. But sometimes, even according to this article, deleting is really not deleting. It's more of a delete, and then in 90 days, you'll be deleted. Deactivating is an option to take a break from Facebook. But anyway, if you want to learn about deleting versus deactivating a Facebook account, got a good article here for you from makeuseof.com. According to Engadget, the first global drone standards have been revealed, and it covers safety, training, and privacy. Of course, the UK has some pretty strict drone rules. They have an outright ban on using them within a kilometer of an airport, whereas if the FAA in the United States, certain operators can fly within controlled airspace. Again, you have to have certain qualifications, certain licensing. The draft does not suggest no-fly zones around airports and other restricted areas. It says the draft does suggest no-fly zones around airports and other restricted areas, along with geofencing measures. So public consideration on the standards open until January 21st. And they're likely to be adopted in 2019. But again, it's basically a standard and not rules. a country's own rules will overrule anything that this is put forth. If you live in the state of Ohio and you got a tax bill coming up and you've got some Bitcoin laying around, Ohio businesses can now use cryptocurrency to pay their taxes and view the transaction in real time online via a transparent blockchain ledger. Wow. So this is the first state to do this, and it's only for businesses. The Ohio Treasury Office that's working to help make the state a national leader in blockchain, the underlying platform for Bitcoin. Blockchain can be used for many different types of business transactions, from supply chain tracking, which is very popular, to the creation of a mesh network for IoT devices. So, what are they going to do? Speculate? Have you seen what Bitcoin's down? What's down to $3,500 or something like that? Might be better to hold on to it at this point, but Bitcoin has dropped like a rock here recently. But anyway, you'll be able to use, if you're a business, you'll be able to use some Bitcoin to pay your... I have some Bitcoin in our corporate account because we used Bitcoin to pay for some things. Well, I don't have much in there. Maybe we can, if we have a tax bill, we can end up using some of it for that. Google Play Store has been redesigned. Ratings and review section lets you easily filter by star rating now. So you can give it a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 star. So with Google's nearly new all-white material design update for Google Play Store, it's been rolling out and rolling back for many users since May. Some say it's sleek and elegant. Others dislike the brightness and lack of differentiation between elements. But the review system is gaining praise. Do you guys actually do reviews on apps? I very, very rarely do, but according to Android Police, this has become very popular. The Supreme Court today heard arguments in the Apple App Store price fixing suit. Apple now has its last chance to fend off a lawsuit. The U.S. Supreme Court is hearing arguments for Apple. On today, on November 26th, as the company rejects claims that it uses its absolute control of iOS app downloads to keep prices high and take a 30% cut of each sale. In a filing, Apple portrayed itself as just a sales and distribution agent and said that developers were ultimately the ones who set the final price. The lawyers behind the suit maintain that customers have a direct relationship with Apple since they send money to the company, not the individual app developers. Attorneys further argue that Apple has extensive control over pricing to the point where prices must end in 99 cents. So don't expect an outcome for a while. A decision in the case is expected in the late spring. But that made it all the way to the Supreme Court. Facebook, it reportedly has shutting down their anti-fake news war room and have no plans to open it ever again. If you remember here recently, they opened it prior to the Brazil elections, quote unquote. It's going to be used for our elections here in the United States as well. But they've disbanded it and they say they're going to use other technologies in future elections. Article over Engadget saying, do you really need a tablet? Well, depending on the phone you have, I guess, right? But I don't know. I found a notebook to be very essential at this point. And some of them are very inexpensive. A lot of the Android notebooks are inexpensive. I use both. I use an Android notebook and a Apple notebook, largely because of the stuff I do in the podcasting space. But the kids... it's very helpful for kids to have tablets. Matter of fact, I almost think giving kids a tablet is smarter than giving them a smartphone because there's a lot more they can do on a tablet, educational-wise, than they can instead of having their head buried in their phone all the time. So, you know, I'm a pretty big fan of tablets. And I don't know, but how about you? Are you a fan? Do you think you need one? I think for me, it's become pretty essential. Matter of fact, the meeting I was in today, I was on my larger tablet and plugged into a projection screen and going through some slides and didn't have to have a laptop opened up. Worked out very, very well. And, you know, it makes you look cool too, right? Instead of flopping down a notebook and looking for power and looking for an adapter, or, you know, just basically plug the adapter and, or, you know, throw it up on the screen. Works real well, most companies these days. But anyway, that's the commentary. Do you need a tablet? Do you really need one? I think the answer is yes. There's an article saying half of the phishing sites trick you into thinking they're secure. So this is something you have to watch out for. When you're, you know, when you're going to your bank's website or a vendor that you go to all the time, be very, very careful. That make sure that you have the right site that you're going to. Make sure that you're actually going to your bank's address. If you mistype, you know, a bank's URL, you could end up on a phishing site. And that site could trick you into thinking they're secure, because I think that's what I always do. I look over, is it secure? Oh, it's secure. Good, we're good. But they say 49% of phishing sites use secure socket layer protection. And that's pretty scary. That's a sharp rise from 35% in the second quarter of 2018 and a steep climb from 25% earlier this year. So they still try to trick you into handing over your vital details, but you know, I think just use common sense here, making sure you're getting to the right site before you're clicking the login button and providing credentials. I use a software that is that injects the username and password for me, and that won't allow me to inject when I'm on a site that's not the right site. It basically comes up blank, and I can know there's something amiss here. Although it hasn't happened to me, that's what would be the indication that it doesn't prompt me to allow it to place the login and password in the appropriate blocks. Something happened today. You Microsoft users out there, hold on to your hat. Microsoft briefly surpassed Apple as the world's most valuable company. Now, it was symbolic. It didn't happen for very long. But Microsoft briefly claimed the title after its market cap surpassed Apple's, climbing to $812.93 billion versus Apple, which was at $812.60 billion. The lead didn't last long. Apple was back up with $822 later in the day, but it's no mean feat. Microsoft hasn't had such a lead since 2010. Now, this doesn't represent the company's revenue, profits, or market share. However, it's symbolic of the company's changing fortunes and strategies. For Apple, it's a recognition that the company's days of runaway growth might be over, and its market cap has fallen from over $1 trillion in the summer to $800 billion range. And I've heard that the XR iPhone is not doing so well, so we will see where this goes. Hashtags are everywhere. Google Maps now support adding hashtags to reviews. So when you're looking for something and you search a hashtag, it'll show up on the Google Map near you. So that's kind of cool. So like vegetarian or wheelchair accessible. I don't know why this hashtag vegetarian remind me. Rob Greenlee, my co-host with the New Media Show, is a vegetarian, and I was, we're talking on the New Media Show, and I asked him a serious question. What do you eat for Thanksgiving? And he said, I eat tofurkey, and I've never heard of tofurkey before. And I honestly told him, he says, listen, if I can get some, and I guess it comes, excuse me, kind of like a meatloaf. And I said, I'll honestly, if we can find some here in Hawaii, I'll get it. Well, I didn't get a chance to go to Whole Foods to take a peek for one. Because I think that was the only place, or maybe I was wrong, that we could get it. But I was going to try tofurkey. Did any of you that are vegetarians have tofurkey for Thanksgiving? Tell me what it tastes like. If I get a sample of it sometime, I'm going to try it. But to date, I have not. You know, my daughter did the vegetarian thing for a while. We enjoyed it. We had a couple meals a week where she would cook up the family meal and do the vegetarian gig. She fell off the wagon for Thanksgiving again. She had turkey and all the fixings. So I guess she's a part-time vegetarian, which I guess it's okay, right? It doesn't bother me one way or the other. Long as no one gets between me and a steak. that's what they have steak knives for, right? So anyway, going back to this, Google Maps now supports adding hashtags to reviews. So maybe someone will put a hashtag on a Whole Foods store for tofurkey. Russia may fine Google for failing to remove banned websites. The fine is going to be huge. The company could be fined $10,450. They're looking to fine Google for failing to remove banned websites from its search results. The agency has filed charges against the company, and they could be fined 700,000 rubles. If it's found to be in violation of Russian laws, the regulators also seeking to have Google join a state registry that lists websites banned by the country. While that's a rather low fine for a company like Google, Russia is reportedly planning to enact harsher penalties for tech companies that break its laws. Three sources told Reuters that the country may soon be able to fine firms up to 1% of the annual revenue in Russia if found to be in violation of Russian regulations. Tech firms like LinkedIn and Telegram have been underneath the target of Russia in the past by blocking them. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. Lots of rules. GDPR was just the tip of the iceberg. Over at geek.com, 11 awesome gifts for the Nintendo lover. So for everything from shot glasses to caps to some art prints and so forth, mugs. So if you are a Nintendo lover, link will be up in the show notes for these geek gifts. Samsung is agreeing to compensate victims of work-related diseases a decade after its first complaint. The deal follows the death of a factory worker from leukemia in 2007. Samsung's apologized to all sufferers of work-related diseases who were employed on its chip and LCD production lines and has agreed to a compensation package with a maximum value of 150 million Korean won or around $130,000 per illness. Wow. So they obviously were doing something they weren't supposed to do here, right? And the agreement, which also covers congenital diseases suffered by children of the victims, is the result of a decade-long campaign by a group called SHARPS, an organization founded by Hwang Sang-ki after his son died from leukemia while working at Samsung chip factory in 2007. Sharps estimates that around 200 employees have contracted diseases relating to Samsung's production lines, of which 70 are thought to have died. Have we had similar stuff happen here in the United States? Factories poisoned the hell out of people in the 20s and 30s. Of course, they're all long dead, but maybe not all, but there was no one thought anything of it then, right? LG has patented a smartphone with 16 camera lenses. So that's interesting. And, you know, when folks thought they were a little bit crazy for launching a smartphone with three cameras, LG's on their way now to have a 16-camera array. So let's see what happens there. Let's Go Digital has a deeper dive on this. All right, you know, it's Christmas shopping period now. I'm okay now that the Thanksgiving holiday is over to hear the Christmas jingles and everything. So, you know, I'm kind of, my son, he already told me, Dad, you don't have to give me a Christmas present because of the MacBook. but little does he know, we already picked one thing up for him, a stocking stuffer, but... Anyway, if you're shopping for Christmas, and again, it wasn't his fault, but I appreciate his contribution. But you know, my son's birthday's in a week or so, or a couple weeks, and this is important time, so we have to continue to celebrate and honor them. Christmas, maybe I can throttle back a little bit, but I'm not going to punish him. But anyway, this is a good time to pick up home theater gifts. Media players, smart sound bars, these are all some picks that are out there, and the folks at Engadget have some suggestions for you. All right, analysts are making some predictions about the Galaxy S10. Specifically, there could be four models coming with the S10, and one of them could be like a really majorly big phone with a lot of memory and a lot of storage, or a lot of RAM and a lot of storage. So we'll see what happens here. But if you're following, if you're a Samsung S series fan, link will be up in the show notes on how to check that out. Got to take a shot of water here. Got in yesterday. I probably drank half a gallon of water. I was really down on I was dehydrated big time. All right, Google Play Store apps found to have malware were downloaded 500,000 times. Now, don't get too crazy here. It was only 13 games. That's kind of crazy, though. But again, the Google Play Store is infected with malware. And of course, it's not only Google Play. Microsoft and Apple have all had their own troubles here. So it shows that no digital store is 100% safe. Just wonder why they can't get a handle on that, you know? There should be some sort of scanning going on and making sure these apps aren't doing anything before they're published, but it doesn't appear to be happening that much. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Mostly games. Have they been removed? Let's see here. At the time they're writing, Google's officially removed the apps. Even so, the incident reminds everyone that the company has a lot of room for improvement. Of course, that is true. So if you have a game that's come up missing on your Android device, you could have been affected. The upcoming Moto G7 Play will have a notch and a much smaller battery. So if you're a Moto fan, some pictures from the FCC have escaped. Link will be up in the show notes on that. Also, new LG trademark hints at plans for a foldable phone, probably following in Samsung's footsteps. I don't know how viable these phones are. To me, it doesn't seem like something I would want to own, but 2019, we'll probably see some more foldable phones. But anyway, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. Typical on-the-road show, finishing up here a little bit faster than normal. Basically, same article load as always, but I want to thank everyone for tuning in to this audio-only show. We'll have another edition here on Thursday. I'll be at a new location, and then I fly back to Honolulu on Saturday. But my meetings here in Indies here are very, very important, and for our podcasters and so forth. So we had a good meeting today and then moved to a new destination here in a couple of days. I'm keeping on the lowdown on the second location because competitors do listen to my show. And if I state exactly where I'm at, sometimes it'll clue people in on what I'm doing. Washington, D.C. is pretty obvious for people to know why I may be here already on that. But other than that, everyone, thanks for being here, being part of the family, being part of the Ohana. Of course, we encourage you to support the sponsor at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Definitely encourage you to become an insider. It's an important time to, I want to continue to grow the show and build the base and have a long-term sustainable show with or without a sponsor. And that's what is only going to be possible if you become an insider, come in at the $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 amount level, or just do an annual contribution via the PayPal link on the website. That all really helps me and the writing team and helps pay the bills for Kirk for doing the pre-work, which he's doing a fantastic job. Have you guys been listening to his show? Giving him feedback? Please do. He's a new podcaster. He needs that touch more than I do. So feel free to give Kirk feedback. You know, don't be afraid to, positive reinforcement and also suggestions are always are great. And so definitely get linked up over there and listen to that show. I think that he'll find his battle rhythm here for sure. But it's always exciting to watch someone that's doing their own show and their own doing their own take and their own format. It's always very exciting for me. He actually told me in the chat today he's thinking about going to Podcast Movement next year, so that'll be awesome. So he's going to come out and be a podcaster. And I'm very much excited about him taking that step to come to Orlando for that event. So, anyway, that's it. Of course, Jack is back from Italy and over at not Jack, but Don Bain is back for the Gadget Professor. He's back. So lots of stuff to listen to on the network here. Make sure you do so. And I want to thank everyone for being part of the family here, being part of the OhanaGeekNews@gmail.com is the place to send your commentary. Follow me on Twitter @GeekNews. Definitely support the sponsor and become an insider. Everyone, thanks. We'll see you on Thursday. Everyone, take care. Aloha.